Thank you, ladies. Let's turn our Bibles tonight to the book of Proverbs. We'll be in Proverbs chapter number 6, Proverbs chapter number 6. And the Lord has given us a wonderful day. And I mentioned to you this morning that I wanted you to be back tonight, especially if you have children at home, because I wanted to preach about a danger and make you aware of a danger to our children. But it was good to get away for a little while. And I didn't just do nothing. Whenever I get away, sometimes I do need to rest, but a lot of times I'm preparing for the next year. Those who work in the office especially, and when pastor's away, they take a sigh of relief, but it's short-lived because they know when he comes back, he's bringing stuff with them. And I have a manuscript in my hand of a new book that I wrote while I was gone. Y'all should be more impressed than you're acting right now. And the Lord put something on my heart, and I wrote an article to post, and then it just turned into a book. And you say, well, how does that work? I can't explain it. I will study on something for a long time, and then I internalize it, and I actually have conversations with myself about these things. It's the only way I can get an intelligent conversation. But and then when it comes out, when God says it's time to come out, I can't stop it. And my wife was fussing at me, you're supposed to be resting. I wasn't sleeping at night because my mind just would not shut off. But I want to go ahead and mention the book to you because I have fast-tracked this. And I didn't pull my usual editor and proofreader. I created a new one and said, guess what you're doing for the next couple of weeks. And I want to get this book to print as fast as possible. I'm just going to throw it up on Amazon so anybody can get access to it. But the book is Battered But Not Beaten, Confronting Hidden Abuse Within the Church. And I've written a biblical and pastoral guide to protecting the vulnerable and restoring the fallen. I believe there's a lot of homes that need what is in this book right here. There's a lot of homes that need the help from the scripture. I'll just say this, and there's 30-something chapters in here, and I deal with every aspect of the idea of this mistreatment in the home. And I'll just sum it up like this. The scripture does not give anyone the permission to be a bully. You think there's a lot of wives who are being physically abused? Possibly. I think there's a lot of wives who are being emotionally abused, spiritually abused, and we have lived under this misnomer that the woman in the home is supposed to just live under the rule of a bully. And the Bible does not teach that. The Bible does not show that. And as a matter of fact, the Bible rebukes that. And I have taken with the Lord's help and put on paper, and I think this is going to be a help. And I'm saying all that because as soon as I get it printed, I'm getting it in hand, and I'm giving everybody a copy. And I'm going to make you sit here and read it before you go home. But I want our young people to understand that there's some things that are right and there's some things that are wrong. And just because we have kind of overlooked some things doesn't make it right. And so pray that we can get this done quickly. I think it'll be a great, great help. And because we do learn a lot of things from the world that we don't even know that we're picking up. And now this is not a book against strong leadership. I believe in strong leadership, but every man ought to be the leader of their home. But there's a word that we need a revival of, and that's meekness. Meekness is not weakness. It is strength and control. And every leader ought to be meek, strength and control. And there are times in my home I have to make decisions. I'm obviously married. I have 3 daughters. You can imagine the drama that I have endured through the years. But there's times that leader's got to make a decision. As a pastor, meekness. I like to think that I lead with some strength, but there's no right for a man to lead in the pulpit as a bully. And to demand and to degrade and all those kind of things. Now, I can preach strong, and I should stand strong, but there's just some things that I feel like the Lord is going to use this greatly. I'm sending this manuscript to several pastors, and already the response I'm getting is that we need this in our churches and our society. And so everybody in here probably knows somebody that when you read this, you're going to be thinking, this is exactly the situation they're in. And if we can help some homes, Man, that's the goal that I would love. So I just thought I'd mention that, that's something that I was, Lord, helped me to accomplish. And so I'll look forward to getting to your hands soon. Proverbs chapter number 6, I'm going to read 4 verses. And beginning with verse number 16, verses that are fairly familiar, verses that I've used before, but then I'm going to go in a direction that you probably have no idea that I'm going to go in. I've had several come to me tonight and say, are you preaching on this? Are you preaching on this? Are you preaching on this? And all of you have been wrong. Which you need to get on the page with the Holy Spirit so you can be on the same page with me. I do want to warn us of something this evening. Let me say this before I even read the scripture. If we would filter everything through the Bible, make life a whole lot simpler. And that's why if you're a newer Christian or you've neglected the Bible for some time, get in the Bible. I wouldn't miss Sunday school because you're being taught Bible. I wouldn't miss church because you're being taught Bible. I'd be here in the midweek service because you're being taught Bible. I would go back and listen to the sermons again. Because you want to get that in you so that you can make the right decisions. But there's some fundamental principles that if we'll hold to, it'll make life simpler. For example, the scripture tells there's no new thing under the sun. Well, Pastor, what about technology and what about all these? No, there's no new thing under the sun. Meaning, there's the things that we read on the pages of scripture are applicable to us today. And then we break this down further. We have our adversary, the devil. Don't forget, he hates you. He hates your home. He hates this church. He hates our nation. He is hate. But the Bible tells us that we are not ignorant of his devices, meaning we know how he operates because we are told in Scripture. Now, I would say this, if we're told we're not ignorant of his devices, why are we so ignorant of his devices? Because we don't take the time to see what the Bible says and see the same tools he's always used. Genesis chapter number 3, the serpent comes to Eve and says, yea, hath God said? Now, if you and I think real hard for a moment, we don't even have to think hard. Some of you, I don't want to stress you, but we don't even have to think hard. Isn't that not what the devil does today? Did God really say that? Does the Bible really mean that? Well, you got a brain. You decide if that's what the Bible means. Hey, nothing new. Same temptations, same things. We should understand that. On the other side, we are to build our life on the principles of God's Word. There are some clear commands. Don't. Thou shalt not. Those do not need interpretation. They don't need to come before a committee to decide what God really meant by that. Let me just say this. You and I don't have to understand what he meant. Just he said, don't. Okay? It's like the child. It's like, don't touch that. That'll hurt. Well, let's find that out. And he's like, well, they'll do that once. You know, come back with a nub, but they'll only do that once. To say, hey, thou shalt not. There's some things that God tells us to do, that it may be well with thee. Things we ought to do. Then there are some principles that we are to build our life on. So as a Christian, as we're reading the Word of God for our encouragement, for our edification, we're also becoming aware, here are some devices. Here's the way that the devil got this Bible character. Here is some principles that, why did God bless this one? He blessed that one because of this. So let me take those principles. And so be thinking of that as I read the scripture and we get into the message tonight. Proverbs 6, verse 16. These 6 things doth the Lord hate. Now when we read that, we ought to pay attention. Yea, 7 are an abomination unto him. The 7th, he hates so strongly, he calls it an abomination. Verse 17, a proud look, a lying tongue. And hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift and running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies. Those 6 things the Lord hates. So, you and I, easy scriptural application. We need to stay away from those things. We need to do a self-evaluation to see if we are practicing any of those things. Well, I know that this was said, but is it really? there are things that we break away from somebody on, and we can choose to do that, but yet we'll give a pass to those who are doing the things that God says he hates. Then the last one, he says an abomination. He that soweth discord among the brethren. That's why your pastor, he's watching for the discord. If somebody's sowing discord, if God says that's an abomination, you know what else God says is an abomination to him? When we break down the difference between the sexes, homosexuality. Now, we as good old registered Republican Southern Christians, we get on board with preaching against that, won't we? And I'm not minimizing that. It is an abomination to God. But he also says that sowing discord among the brethren is an abomination. But one, we don't participate in. Well, I hope you're not participating in it. So that was horrible. Preach collateral on that, Pastor. But the other, we're more prone to participate in. You say, Pastor, I thought this was about the kids and not about their mom and dad. No, you're the problem with your no. I want to take that in. I want you to stay with me. He that soweth discord among the brethren, God uses unity in him. It means we're not all the same to do his work. That's why we need to be on the same Bible page. The devil uses discord. Discord will destroy this church. Save people. We'll use discord. God, the devil will use discord caused by saved people, inside, outside, to destroy this church quicker than Hollywood would. Think about it. But let's take it further. The devil will use discord in the home. God has a divine pattern. God, the husband, the wife, the children. Now, part of what I allude in this book, and I think I'm going to flesh it out more in other studies, is when the husband gets out from underneath God, the wife does not have an obligation to follow the husband. See, it sucked the wind literally out of the room. Because for generations we've been told you ought to follow that husband no matter what. That is not according to the Bible. If he's not following Scripture, you're not supposed to follow him into Egypt. Well, what if he leaves? Let him go. What if he demands I go? Don't go. Well, I'll get off of that. But discord in the home. So the mom and dad ought to be agreed with how we're going to rear our home according to the Word of God. We on the same page? Following God in the Word of God. There's an order there. The children, and one of the problems with our country is we have gone to the young people and said, what do you want? Instead of telling them what they need. There's a difference. I love my children. I think I have a good relationship with my children. If I don't, they're not going to tell me because they want me to keep buying their groceries. But I'm their friend, but I'm their father before I'm their friend. And if they're honest, they would testify to you that dad's going to do what dad is supposed to do in the home, and he's not taking a survey from us about how we're running their home. There's a pattern there. Everybody's with me so far. So what the devil wants to do is he will bring anything in to create a discord in that home so that the home is not on the same page. Every young person ought to be on the same page with their mom and dad. I'll be on the same page with the church on the Word of God. What are we going to do? We're trying to rear our children according to His honor and glory, not to ours. We're trying to do something as a church. And by the way, the more homes we have following the Scripture, the stronger the church is. So we all have a part. So what does the devil try and do? He tries to bring discord into the home. Now, with that in mind, I'm going to preach tonight on the danger of discord. And I'm going to talk specifically about some technology and an app with the same name. discord. And if you're not aware of it, I'm going to make you aware of it. And I'm going to give some dangers of it tonight that moms and dads need to be aware of, because the devil will use anything to bring discord in the home. I'll get ahead of myself so you can be thinking about this, decide whether to slip out or not when I pray. Anytime you got mom and dad on the same page with God, and anytime anybody or anything comes in between mom and dad and the child, there's a problem. There's a problem. As your pastor, I will preach the Word of God, I will teach the Word of God, but it's your responsibility to rear your children. So tonight I want to talk about the danger of discord. Father, help us tonight as we look at this subject. I pray that you give me clarity of mind. May we be helped tonight. May your church be helped by this. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We live in a world where the enemy no longer knocks on the front door. When I was growing up in church, you'd hear preachers preaching, it was true, that the filth used to be in the alley and now it's out in the street. Now it's coming to the front door. I would submit to you that it's not even no longer knocking on the front door, it's entering through Wi-Fi. See, our homes have become digital battlefields. See, children can talk to anyone, see anything, and go anywhere, all from a device they carry in their pocket. You know, when we were growing up in the golden age, the 80s, don't talk to strangers. Yeah, your parents would say that, and then they'd send you out to play in the neighborhood and say, don't come home till it's dark. I mean, but now we will foolishly and naively take a device and give it to our child, and they have access. Or should I was going to say to anybody and everybody, but let me flip that around. This is the danger. Anybody and everybody has access to them. And this isn't my message tonight, but let me just give some general parenting advice. If I don't like somebody talking to my children, they're not going to talk to my children. Well, I need to give them a reason. How about I said so? I said so. Didn't you get mad, frustrated when your parents said that? I'll never say that. Man, I say it every day. I say it in the mirror for practice because I said so. I'm the only one that ever listens to it, but, you know, I say it anyway. I decide who influences. I would say that some of you tonight would be surprised. You've done everything you could do, but the devil has still found a way in. And he is building up discord in the heart. And let me just say, and we need to get back to putting some parameters on what we put into our children's hands. Well, they want a television, or they don't ask for a television anymore. You know why? Because they have one in their phone. And let me just give a little side note. There's some things that God never intended for children to have to deal with. Well, my daughter's 13 and 14. She has a boyfriend. No, she don't. Well, he has a girlfriend. No, we don't. I mean, 25-year-olds, most of them aren't mature enough, emotionally mature enough to have a relationship. How does a 14-year-old have a relationship? And there's a 40-year-old anyway. Some of you have been married 30 years and you're thinking, my husband is still... Anyway. One of the most popular platforms among young people today is called Discord. If you've never heard of it, Discord began as a voice chat tool for video gamers. And by the way, they're not still playing Pong. With the one little bar over here and the one little bar over here with a ball bounces back and forth. That's not what your children are playing. It was designed so players could talk with each other while gaming online. And by the way, we can talk to each other too much. I mean, what do you have to say? Some of y'all, again, y'all are like, Pastor's never going away again. But what began as a harmless companion app has become a massive communication network, now used by over 196 million people every month. On Discord, users join what are called servers, online communities built around specific games, topics, or interests. Inside those servers are channels where users can type, talk, or video chat in real time. There are thousands of public servers, and anyone of any age can join them. Private servers can also be created when only invited members are allowed. And just so, in case I get challenged tonight, well, you know, you have to be 13 to join. You can say you're 13. And there are younger than that that are creating profiles and getting on there. And by the way, you can say you're 13 and be a 45-year-old predator too. This is where the danger begins. It often starts innocently. A child plays a video game, makes some online friends, which there's the problem right there. You should not let your children make online friends. Say, Pastor, why are you saying it? Because I know of situations where some of those online friends were exactly what I just described to you. They make some online friends and someone says, by the way, let me just throw this out there too. Before it gets there, you stop them from having those online friends. Then it doesn't turn into something else. It's kind of like, well, I don't want them to marry the wrong person. Don't let them date the wrong person. I'm praying for the Lord to speak to them. God gave them a parent to say, no. And then what if they don't want to listen? Just ask them, how awkward do you want Thanksgiving to be? Well, where's my food? I don't know. You didn't bring it? This is dangerous. They make some online friends and someone says, join our Discord server so we can talk easier. The child joins, and before long, they are part of a community their parents can't see and don't even know exist. Some of you have kids at home. You know they have game systems, and they're on Discord, and you have no idea they are. Within those unseen channels, vulgar language, explicit content, and predatory behavior often occur. Their recent reports show a 284% increase in online exploitation involving Discord, this one app, over a two-year period. The Washington Post even uncovered predator networks using Discord to groom minors. And although the app's minimum age, as I mentioned, is 13, many preteens under that age are already active on it. It is easy to see why it's marketed as community. Because the devil is sly. Kids crave belonging. That's why, Mom and Dad, in this digital age, we have to be aware that the old-time principles that kept a family close still apply. This digital community often connects them to darkness. Well, a 13-year-old is going to relate more to a 13-year-old than even mom and dad. But the problem is that really a 13-year-old? The problem is, what is that 13-year-old into? That's going to introduce some things. We work hard to keep our children away from things, and then the devil's sly. The FBI estimates around 500,000 online predators are active at any given time. Many using chat platforms like Discord to reach young people. This means the battlefield may be right inside your home, inside your child's gaming console, inside their cell phone. And if you're a young person and you're on Discord, you're probably feeling very uncomfortable right now. And let me say that you discovered this, or it discovered you, because of the slyness of the adversary. Even if you weren't looking for it, if you're honest, you know what I'm saying to you is true. Sunday school lessons are not being discussed on this app. What's your favorite scripture verse is not being asked on this app. Nothing good or profitable is being discussed. The very name of this app should give us pause. See, sometimes they say, well, the devil sure fooled us. Just come out, Discord. Let's sign up for that. God says he hates he that soweth discord among brethren. Yes, those that would cause discord among God's people in a church, he says, God said he, not that person, but he hates what they're doing of sowing that discord. It's also true at a home. It's also true between a mom and a dad. It'd be safe to say that millions of young people, millions, say, what's going to happen? This is why we have to get serious about our Sunday school revolution. This is why what I preached this morning, every single member of Emmanuel Baptist Church, you need to get on board, because there are millions of young people that gather daily. And they are just getting pumped full. See, I saw one and it wasn't that way. That is the exception. And his lead is going to lead to, there's the potential there. I want to sound an alarm. I'm just declaring that in case you hadn't figured that out yet. Not just about this app called Discord, because you know me well enough to know I'm not going to get up and say that God forbids you to have a television just because bad things are on it. Because the wicked person is the one, the wickedness is the one holding the remote control, not that box. And we have got to control us. But I do want to make it aware, you aware of it, and its very nature is secretive and divisive from a young generation to their parents. And many of our children in our Christian homes, their hearts are getting stolen. Not by the neighbor down the street. Their hearts are getting stolen, and the devil is putting questions in their mind. Yea, hath God said, you've done everything that you could do. You put them in a Christian school. You make sure they're in Sunday school. And there is that Discord app where there are people who don't know God. When I go there, I feel important. It's preying on the immaturity of a child, the immaturity of a young person. But that spirit of discord creeps into our homes, our churches, our children's hearts, a deceptive tool. Now, I don't want to keep you here all night, but let me just mention, I hesitate to tell you how many, six principles that I want us to look at when it comes to the danger of discord. Number one, discord conceals itself as harmless. 2 Corinthians 11:14, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. I'm going to give you six principles about this app, but it's also about the spirit of discord itself. So if you don't even have electronic in your home, there's still a spirit of discord that we need to be aware of. It conceals itself as harmless. You know, somebody who's going to cause trouble in their church, they never come and say, hey, I'm here to cause trouble. They don't text you with their true intent. They don't call you with their true intent. You just listen to them for a little bit, and they sound a little bit like the devil. Yea, hath God said? It's that spirit of discord. We find it in every level of life. We find it in our government. We find it in our way of life. You find it in business. You find a group of people, whether it be business, God's work, whatever, where they are on the same page, they're going to do something. It's that spirit of discord conceals itself as harmless. It's just a place to talk. Is there anything harmful about talking? I don't know. Ask Eve in the Garden of Eden. That one conversation brought sin to every man. His words, that serpent, sounded reasonable, friendly, curious. And Eve took the bait. I wonder how many parents would say, well, at least my child is home. But the question might be, are they safe at home? And parents, I'm not preaching this tonight because I think you're purposely putting your child in harm's way. But I mean, there's some in here, you still don't even have email. I mean, the world has changed so much in the last 30 years, you can't keep up with the technology. This is a good reason to belong to a church because the God will put in the heart of a pastor. I think I need to warn because I've had to deal with this situation and this situation and this situation. Then there's probably others. I'm just trying to bring some awareness to the potential sowing of discord in your home. I'm not going home with you to go through your electronic devices. I'm just here to warn you. Discord thrives on invisibility. I'm talking about the app and the spirit of discord. Boy, if you could see that spirit of discord coming, you'd be aware of it, wouldn't you? This notifications appear like any other message. It's the digital version of Proverbs 7, the strange woman lurking on the corner whispering. We all know the story, the analogy of the Trojan horse that looks like a gift, but inside it, it carried destruction inside its walls. And parents, I'm trying to help us tonight. We do everything that we can to teach our children right, but that doesn't stop the devil from trying to get in your home. It doesn't stop him from trying to get to your child's heart. Statement number two, discord exposes youth to ungodly influence. Psalms 101:3, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. 1 Corinthians 15:33, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. What better verse to use for a communication app? Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Here's a practical thing. Is the attitude better when they log out or is it worse? Are they more pliable under the leadership and authority of their parents? Or are they less pliable? And let me say, ungodly conversations still corrupt good character, good manners. Adults, that applies for us too. That's why you may have to limit who you talk to, how much you talk to them. See, in these open channels of discord, teens can stumble upon profanity, pornography, atheism, rebellion, or perversion in minutes. Once they read it, they can't unread it. Once they see it, they can't unsee it. A young person who joined to maybe discuss a game may soon be listening to filth. Have we noticed just the vile language that this world uses? I mean, even the music of the world, the profanity that's in it. Just the common, you can't walk through a store without hearing just the most vile words. It has just become a way of life. So don't think that, say, well, it's just a bunch of kids. Well, when mom and dad are talking this way all the time, they're going to talk that way. They may be doing all of this under the idea of it's just being shared by my friends, people they've never met. And by the way, don't think that's harmless because eventually they will try and meet. And don't think your child is not vulnerable to meeting somebody and building a relationship with them online And then being willing to be convinced to leave everything behind for somebody they've never met before. I can use names and tragedies of just a harmless interaction. It began through a simple app. And by the way, it'd be good practice for adults too. Just because on Facebook it's a friend doesn't mean they're your friend. I still say it, and some of you shake your head at me and you don't struggle. There's a lot of friends that ought to be deleted on social media because they lead to corrupt manners. You know, this is the day we live in today, and as a pastor, I understand it, and I have social media accounts, but it's kind of frustrating when you're the pastor and you're praying for them, and God's holding you accountable for them, but then you have people in your church, church members you love, that let Facebook friends pastor them more than their actual pastor pastors them. And just like I said this morning, I'm not begging people to serve God. I'm not even going to waste my time to compete with or even acknowledge, well, so-and-so said this on Facebook. I don't care. I don't have to reconcile what God says with what some yahoo on Facebook says. The Bible says in Proverbs 13:20, we still believe the Bible, right? He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Online companionship has gone global, and so has foolishness. Statement number three, discord isolates from parents and godly authority. Ephesians 6, we know the passage as well. We should, verses 1 and 2, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. See, discord is designed for privacy. Mom and Dad, did you know that your child can have an app on their electronic device and it is invisible to you? The whole app was designed for privacy. The average parent could not even navigate it because our brain just does not work that way. See, parents cannot easily see what's happening inside servers or direct messages. The secrecy builds walls. Emotional and spiritual walls between children and their authority. And this ties in with the book I wrote, The Devil Uses That Emotional Connection, That Emotional Oppression. You can't break away from me. We've been friends for how are we going to play these games? And I understand, you have confessed some things to me. You haven't confessed to your mom and dad. You can't separate from me. And it's that emotional manipulation. And it builds walls between children and their authority. Young people, you should be able, no matter what you fall into, you should feel able to go to your mom and dad and say, I need help. And mom and dad, your first reaction shouldn't be, well, this is going to be embarrassing to me. And what kind of punishment if they come to you and say, I need help? You have to help them. And if you need help tonight applying to this or in any situation, come to your pastor. I'm not going to cast you out. I'm not going to berate you. I'm not going to pull you in front of the church and let everybody know what you're doing. I want to help you. Beware, by the way, beware of anyone that wants to isolate you from your pastor. Don't tell pastor. Don't let pastor know. As soon as you hear that, you know what you should do? Let's go talk to pastor. Now, unless you're secretly planning a birthday party for me or something, I'm okay with that. But that isolation, that's a clue right there. See, when a teen spends hours every day, every night with unseen friends and faceless voices, they begin to withdraw from those who love them most. This is where all this digital world is a danger. What began as a conversation turns into counsel. What began as friendship becomes influence. Let's be reminded of Judges 17:6 tonight, which says, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. listen to me, Discord and apps like this trains a generation to do just that, to trust their own online community more than their church or their parents. Some of you, if you delve into this, you're going to be shocked at how strong the hold is. Because there is that emotional hold. And it has been it's isolating them. And by the way, you can take this digital world and apply it. You can take anything and apply this principle. Don't let your child be isolated from their authority. And mom and dad, this is an important point for you to stay right with God. Stay right in your relationship with your pastor, because if you isolate yourself from your pastor, you're going to isolate your children. And just because you feel like, well, I just don't think, you know, and like I said this morning, if God brings you to a church, don't listen to the devil when he tells you to leave a church. And if you do, that does not relieve you of your obligation to that church. There's a lot of people who used to go to church here, they still owe their tithe. Well, I go to church somewhere else. You still owe your tithe. You still owe your commitments. But anything can isolate you from the authorities that God has in your life, and certainly mom and dad. That's why there's this debate, and there shouldn't be a debate. There ought to be some outrage, as there is, about schools and government getting in business of mom and dad. Number four. Everybody okay? Discord breeds division and strife. Not just this platform, but the spirit of discord. A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. What a fitting verse for this platform. Gossip, argument, slander spread like wildfire in online chat rooms. By the way, I know church members gossip in private group chats. Just because it's in an online platform and you didn't say the words out loud doesn't mean the principles of the Word of God don't apply. Well, I didn't say it. In most cases, it's worse that you actually put it in a text. Put it in a message. It breeds division and strife. Can we get back to, we say this politically, can we get back to a day politically where we can disagree and not try and destroy the other person? I'm not talking about moral things. I'm not talking about those. We ought to take those stands. Just because I take a stand doesn't mean, I mean, I ought to be trying to win you with the gospel, not wipe you off the face of the planet. But that discord breeds division and strife. It happens in churches. Let me just say this, while I'm warning you of what's going on in the digital world among young people in our country today, its father is what I just described, is gossip. And if you're involved in gossip, let me give you some good spiritual counsel tonight. Stop. Well, they keep coming back. Tell them not to come back. Will they go to church with them? Tell them you're going to the altar to get right with God for committing one of the six things God hates. And that seventh, which is an abomination, and invite them to come. And if you need to cut, and by the way, if we're all on the same page in here, this really shouldn't be a problem. It's that spirit of discord that's outside. I know I'm throwing a lot of scripture at you tonight, but another one that's not in my notes, but they went out from us because they were not of us. There's a reason why they went out from us. It breeds division and strife. Well, we need to see teens mock authority behind screens. By the way, let me warn you, from the young adult all the way down, be careful in your group text of making mocking comments about authorities. You may think it's funny, but there's a God in heaven who doesn't. That spirit of discord. You know, churches have split because of what somebody put in a group text. said, Pastor, you're being a little extreme. I could tell you about them. You used to have to write anonymous letters and disperse them. But now you don't have to do that. You say, Pastor, do you really believe that this was the intention? I don't know. Can you find me an illustration where the devil's trying to do us good and good? That prince in the power of the air we've been warned about in Scripture, he just had an off day and decided to do something good? Oh, no, he's seeking whom he may devour. He don't take a day off. Mom and Dad, you may take a day off, but he's not taking a day off. And let me just say, if you're doing this, if you're on this tonight, I'm not judging your motives. I'm just giving you some practical warning. And if you're a parent, let me just say, your 12-year-old does not have the discernment. And the fact that there's 500,000 predators online, that's what the FBI knows about. Is a good enough warning to say, I don't want my child in that world. If you knew there was a place in town where the predators hung out, would you let your kids go there? Then why are we letting them log on? Number five, this is where I'll lose some of you, because I know everybody's with me right now. Discord distracts from what truly matters. I will say this, the devil is good at distraction. I like hobbies. Do you like hobbies? See, Pastor, what's your hobby? I like reading and writing and tacos. It's relaxing to me to have some time and to read a history book. Some of you, that's torture. We all have different hobbies, but you know anybody's hobby can distract them from what truly matters. And can I just say, at the risk of sounding really out of touch with this society, and if you come and tell me after church that I'm out of touch with this society, I will say thank you to that. But our country is reaping the results of having our young people do nothing but play. They play online. They play in this. And now you got situations where people can't, they're not providing for their own home because they're too busy playing. We got young adults and let me just, I'm not going to have anybody to preach to next week. There's a lot of good Christian young ladies that are frustrated because they haven't found a man yet. Because they're too busy playing. Than pursuing what God wants for them. You know there's no rewards in heaven for reaching a certain status on a video game? I mean, can you imagine standing in, no, it's not this way, and standing in line to stand before the Lord and, you know, there's David who as a teenager was slaying a lion and a bear. Daniel in the lion's den. Those that were martyred for the faith. What are you in line for? I got a badge. A real badge? No, it's a digital one. Online. See, Pastor, you're just pouring cold water on everything. No, I'm just saying, we have one life to live. And can we find a correlation between why our young people aren't serious-minded about life and the things of God and what has gone on and for the last 20, 30 years? When are we going to connect the dots? And let me also say, there's young men that are frustrated because God hasn't brought them the wife that they would like to have. And the same thing may apply, but in a different way or the same way. And this isn't the only thing that distracts us from what truly matters. There's young people who are, it may be hunting, fishing, sports, whatever, that's distracting them. in this day and age we live in, you've heard me touch it a lot, I'm going to touch it more. It's the American dream that's distracting a lot of young people. Let me make my money, Pastor. I don't want to have to live by faith. I don't want to have to go from here to here. I don't want to do that. Let me make my money, and then I'll see what God wants to do with me. How about we not get distracted from what truly matters? Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. In this app and in real life, there's hours upon hours that just go like this into meaningless conversation. And by the way, adults, you can say, well, I'm getting my kids when I get home. It's the same thing happens to you with Netflix. Same thing can happen to you. I can't be in church on Sunday night. This isn't you because you're here, because the game's not over. Well, my club meets on the same time church meets, and so, well, what's really going to matter for eternity? I mean, are we going to be serious about this or not? Ephesians 5:16 is still in the Bible, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Time lost to discord is often time lost to discipleship. You can take discord and put any other app in there. Well, I don't have time to read my Bible. Well, close Instagram down. And you might have time. I'm not, see, pastor's preaching against social media. No, I'm not telling you not to have it unless you can't handle it. It's called spiritual maturity to say, I need to put these safeguards in my life. I need to be willing to say, I need to get more serious in this area. And by the way, can I just back up just a moment to the young adults? I pray that God brings the right person into your life. Don't settle. Anybody can get married. Look around. Don't settle just to say, I got married. Some of you are going to regret that because you're going to wish you weren't married to who you're married to. And by the way, and I touched on it in this book, if I don't think it's the right, I'm going to tell you. And if your mom can get mad at me, your grandmother can get mad at me, I'm not going to have that destruction on my conscience. That's not even what I wanted to back up and say. I don't even remember what I wanted to back up and say. But this is what I wanted to back up and say. But all that was good too. Quit blaming God that you don't have that person in your life because of your lack of surrender and seriousness. Well, I can't find anybody at church. I'm going to go somewhere. Why don't you get your act together? Are you tithing? Are you faithful? Are you serving? Are you just sitting back with your arms folded and say, well, God hasn't performed what I wanted him to perform? How's your surrender? Maybe, just maybe, God's waiting on you. Oh. There have been times I felt lonely. I'll move to number 6. All in favor? Okay, you're afraid to say aye. Let me remind us all of God's call to purity and discernment. Philippians 4:8, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are a good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. There's some people you can't have a relationship with because you cannot think on these things when you're in a relationship with them. That's what we're to think on. And if the environment is the things I described, how are you going to be a witness to them? Go in there and ask them about salvation. Tell them they need to all get in church and need to stop talking this way, and see how long it takes for you to get banned. Now, I'm not really telling you to go home and do that. It'd just be better for you just to delete the thing. But how can you be a witness? How can you keep your mind right? How can you think on these things? There ought to be, we need some discernment. This is a test for everything, our entertainment, our friends, the digital world. I would dare say that environment of discord can't pass the Philippians 4:8 test. If it can't, it fails to meet the believer's standard. Let me just wrap this up. 1 Peter 5:8 reminds us, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. We are told to be sober-minded, to be vigilant. You can't take everything at face value. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, some of the crazy things that you hear, but you can't say, well, I don't mean any harm. Where did it come from? So he's still walking about seeking whom he may devour. He's just simply changed hunting grounds. He now roams those digital fields. He don't need you to open the door. He just needs the Wi-Fi to be open. By the way, we have our new addictions curriculum we're getting in, and one test I want to do is say, well, you want to know if you're addicted? The first thing you say when you go to another place is, what's the Wi-Fi password? I'll just leave that with you. Parents, you must guard your homes. Young people, you must guard your hearts. See, the world would call this app discord. That spirit of discord, the potential for evil, God calls that an abomination. See, by the way, Satan is never careless with his branding. He delights when division and secrecy thrive under a name that mirrors his nature. I pray not. But some of you parents may go home and you may all of a sudden become in a battle of wills with one of your children because it's already got its hooks in. Young people, God will never bless you for making your mom and dad who love the Lord, who've put you under the teaching and preaching of the Word of God, and you making them an adversary. And by the way, it doesn't matter if you're 15 or 25 or 35. There's still some adult children that if you could get away with spanking them, they need a spanking. The sad thing is God's going to be the one that spanks them and chastises them. Let's not be naive. Oh, Pastor, he's just out of touch. Maybe. Or maybe God's just give me a little bit of discernment. Maybe, young people, parents alike, listen to me. Maybe I've gotten calls in the middle of the night. Just maybe. There's something to the fact that God has established a shepherd of his sheep. And he's seen some things. He's experienced some things. And I would never do this, but if I could pull back the veil and say, look at this mother's tears fall. You're heading on a path where that will be your mother. Look at the wrecked life that as much as they want to get back to God, it's hard. Let's not be naive. A tool of the enemy is designed to isolate, desensitize, divide. Can it help us tonight? Let's teach our children that the true server they belong to is the service of Christ. The only voice chat they really need is the still small voice of the Holy Spirit. And every head of the house, every parent has to decide what voice is going to rule your home. Is it a voice of discord? Because that's what the devil wants to do. He wants to bring discord. By the way, if there is division and discord, the person doing right is not the person causing it. If there's division in the church, it's not because the pastor's preaching the word of God. It's because there's a rebel. If there's division in the home, if there's division among families, it's not God that's causing that division. It's the person not doing right. And don't fall trapped to that, mom and dad. Don't fall prey to that thinking, well, we can go church somewhere else. No, that has never worked. Well, let's keep the unity in our home, the discord. So, Pastor, how are you going to wrap this up? We're going to have an invitation, and however the Lord has spoken to you, you're welcome to come tonight. When you get home, mom and dad, you might want to do some investigating. Young people, you may not be involved in something tonight, but your pastor's trying to give you some danger. Everybody out there that says they have your best interest in mind does not have your best interest in mind. Or you might be involved. Get out now while you can. See, we can't be naive anymore that our young people would never be exploited. I don't want to be overdramatic, but I want to present this with the soberness that it needs. Our children is who the devil's after. Our children. See, the devil is not after impurity. He's after purity with the goal of making it impurity. And this world is not our friend. Will they just tell me what things that they don't get in my way? You better be glad you got a mom and dad that gets in your way. And one day, hopefully, you'll realize the benefit of having a stubborn, bullheaded, bold pastor who loves you enough to say, if you go this way, it's going to hurt you. Hey, let's let this warning of the spirit of discord. I know I've preached a little bit longer. Brother Benny gave me permission. But we need, if it saves one child, if it saves one home, it's worth it. It's worth it. Father, help us tonight to apply.